Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text that forms the basis were the words we just heard in our gospel reading, the parable of the farmer and the seed. We pray, Lord God, we are your field. Give us the increase according to your word. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, it's a scattered crowd, a mixed bag of people from all different walks of life. They're a scattered sort of people with different stories, different struggles, different experiences. Imagine the scene as Jesus leaves the house with his disciples and they make his way down to the shores of Galilee. Out of the nearby villages and surrounding areas, people begin to congregate. They begin to gather and follow along with their Savior, with Jesus, to hear something from him. They've heard a little bit about him. They've heard he has a certain amount of opposition to the Pharisees. They've heard of his power to work miracles. He casts out demons. He heals the sick. And now they want to hear a little more. They come from all walks of life to gather on that shoreline. But will they hear what he is saying? There's so many people, Jesus has to get into a boat. He calls for James and John to come over with their boat, and he makes out into the water so that he can address the crowd. He looks out over that multitude of people from different lives, different stories, and begins to speak a parable. What sort of people are in those crowds? Where do they come from? What are their stories? As he looks out, he finds people like you and me who come from different stories, different struggles, different sins, who gather to hear the saving word. His voice echoes on the hillsides behind them so that it amplifies and begins to surround them on every side. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. His word goes into action and it battles the elements in our lives. The picture Jesus draws of a farmer might be something we're not so familiar with. Farming in first century Palestine was just the way Jesus described it. They didn't dig rows or plant one seed at a time like we might in our gardens. In first century Palestine, the farmer would walk through his field where paths were drawn on either side, and he'd have plots of land. He'd scatter the seed recklessly almost as he walked along. Some would fall on the path. You never were quite sure what kind of soil he had. It could be rocky terrain, as was much of the land over there. It could be infested with thorns. And in rare cases, you might find soil that's cultivated and good for planting. The farmer sows his seed. And so the hymn writer Martin Franzmann writes, "The sower sows his reckless love, scatters abroad the goodly seed, intent alone that there may be the wholesome loaves that people need." It's a reckless and busy word that Jesus scatters in the crowd. A mixed sort of people with different stories and different struggles, and his word alone is what can battle the elements we face in our lives. Look out over that crowd. Look out over that crowd with the eyes of Jesus and see what he sees. As he looks over the crowd, he sees a man. A man who's impatient, who doesn't really want to stay much longer. He's really already made up his mind. You see, he's had experiences with church in his past, churches that have let him down. When he was a teenager, he found out that his pastor had embezzled thousands of dollars out of the church bank account. He also had many Christians he used to look up to, only to find out they were liars, they were hypocrites, and they were worse than he was. In fact, I might have run into this sort of person just last week. We were delivering flyers in North Aurora, and I came to a house where a man was trimming his lawn. He was moving his truck from one side of the driveway to the other, and I approached. After I avoided almost being run over by his truck, he started to get out of the truck, and I asked him if he wanted a flyer. As soon as the word church came out of my lips, he was done. "I don't deal with churches," he said. And I couldn't even finish my sentence before his back was to me and he was walking away. How had he been trampled underfoot? How had he been left the path that was beaten down where the seed was snatched away before it ever had a chance to take root? The word moves onward. It moves onward, and we look out with the eyes of Jesus to see another person. Now we see another in the crowd, a girl, a young girl, a second grader. Her parents sent her to VBS for the first time. They are thankful to have free daycare, but it doesn't matter. She loved it. She did the crafts. She shared in answering questions. She learned something she had never known before. She learned about Jesus. She sang the songs as joy filled her heart like she had never known. And she came home to her parents saying, "When do we get to go back?" Well, they came back a few times. Maybe in a couple years later, she came back for VBS. But then she grew up. She went off to college. The word became a faint echo. That joy began to just drift away as she faced other situations. Her parents, as soon as she was into college, got divorced. Not only that, but months later, her mom became sick with cancer. Dad was out of the picture, and here this girl who had grown up was the only one left to care for her sick mother in those days. She had to drop out of college and move home to take care of mom. As the years rolled on, there were voices challenging her faith, robbing her of the spiritual nourishment she needed. There were no Christians around. There was no pastor to visit her. There was no congregation to care for her or her mother. There was no root. She was on rocky ground. And where would the nourishment come from to deal with those struggles? She was exposed to the elements that we're all exposed to, and her faith was scorched to death. So the word moves on. The word moves through the crowd. The voice of Jesus continues to speak, and it falls on the ears of yet another. Now we find a woman who is listening carefully, trying to decipher what Jesus is talking about. The word falls on her heart, the seed takes root, and she wants to become a Christian. She thinks it'll make her life better, easier. She wants to get God into her life, and yet at the same time as she's hearing his word, she finds out she's not really hearing it at all. She can't bear to hear it. The cost is too great. The word calls her to abandon her sinful lifestyle. Jesus calls to her, telling her that living with another man outside of marriage is against his will. And what is she supposed to do? She can't just leave him. They're not ready to get married. She knows that to leave him would leave her financially in trouble. He makes way more than she does, and she can't afford to live on her own. And so this question becomes a difficult one for her. What would she do? Where would she go? Where would she live? Would she have to move back home? Would she have to give up her cable TV, her internet, her car, her friends? Not only that, but really, his lifestyle's rubbing off on her more than hers is on him. She thinks she can handle it. She thinks she can withstand temptation. She thinks she can live both lives. And she wants to become a better person, but she finds it's not happening. You see, the word wasn't meant to do that for her. The word wasn't meant to make things easier or make us into better people, but it's to make us repentant people, forgiven people. And the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, begin to choke her faith so that it can no longer breathe. There are thorny issues she doesn't want to face, and it's painful dealing with guilt, and there's sacrifices that for every one of us seem too costly to make. So there's no fruit. Faith without works is dead, and faith without repentant fruit is no faith at all. So she withers and she dies. So goes the word. It lands here, it lands there, it moves onward, it touches this life and that life, and Jesus is reminding us that the results are not always the same. But he continues to speak. He continues to scan the crowd. He continues to talk about this kingdom. And the word touches another. As Jesus looks out over the crowd, he sees you. He sees you there, facing those same elements, facing your own struggles, and he speaks to you. His word echoes all around in these pews, on this shoreline where Jesus stands in the boat to address you. You see, we face the same dangers, the same prospect of death, the same struggles as a first century Jew or Palestinian or Gentile or Christian is the same struggles that you and I face. The word falls on a life which is no better, a life which has dealt with bad experiences with other Christians, which has faced issues of divorce and sickness, which has been challenged by the sacrifices of the Christian life and so often failed. We go to church on Sunday, we return to sin on Monday, and if we're no different, then what is different? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And God's word is like rain that comes down from heaven and waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud. And you recognize that all flesh is grass. It withers, it fails, and our sinful flesh cannot bear the elements. But the word of the Lord stands forever. Jesus scans the crowd and he drops his seed into your heart. You see, God is the God of creation. He's the God of cultivation. He's the God spoken of in our psalm for today. You, O God of our salvation, you visit the earth, you water it, you soften it with showers and bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness and your ways overflow with plenty. The God of creation, the God of cultivation, is the God who creates good soil. His is the work of a farmer who breaks up the hard ground, who works out the rocks, who reaches in and pulls out the weeds. He pulls out what is evil and creates something good, and he does it through his Son, Jesus Christ. We cannot withstand the elements of this world and the struggles that we face in our lives. And that is why he's given us Christ, to accomplish what he pleases and to prosper in the thing for which he sent it. And so the word is sent, it becomes flesh, and it dwells among us. The scars on his hand prove it. They prove the labor. As he reaches into this world, is pricked by our thorns and thistles, as he pulls out what is so bad and leaves what is so good. It is a man's hands which reach out, and the voice of God which cries out, "It is finished." From the cross, those pierced hands cry out, "It is finished." And those resurrected hands restore what is meant to be in your life. The resurrection of Christ brings the forgiveness of sins and makes things what they should be. In every one of our hearts and every one of our lives, God gives us something good. It prospers in the thing for which he sent it. He didn't send it to give us a comfortable life. He didn't send it to remove every trouble or every problem we might face in our day-to-day struggles. He didn't send it to make it easy. He sent it to deliver us. We are a mixed bag, a crowd of people with different struggles and different lives, and different stories. We've been let down by other Christians, and yet God's word will never let us down. We've faced issues of divorce and sickness, and yet God will never leave us. We've faced other Christians, other struggles. We've borne guilt and faced sins, and yet God's word continues to forgive us. This is why the word is central to everything we do, everything we teach, not just once a week, but every day where we need that forgiveness. Every day where we need those words of comfort. Every day where we need a fellow Christian to come by and talk. For there in the word of Christ, his kingdom reigns, and he saves us by faith. Let us be rooted deeply in that word so that we endure the elements, and as God has promised, we bear much fruit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.